It's the 3rd of June 1996. WCW Nitro and WWF Raw are on TV, so let's watch both broadcasts from start to end to see who had the better show. Raw is a taped show with matches from Fayetteville, North Carolina, while Nitro is coming live also from North Carolina. WCW is in the city of Asheville. We'll cover the first 60 minutes of Nitro first, so let's get started. Larry Zbysko and Tony Schiavone let us know that we're going to see the Steiner brothers take on Sting and Lex Luger in tonight's main event. We get a recap of Big Bubba shaving the Shark's head last week, and the Shark also has an interview with Mean Gene Okerlund. The Shark says that he's going to keep half of his head unshaved as a reminder of the embarrassment he suffered last week on Nitro. Okay then. And the Shark also gives up his gimmick. He's not the Shark, he's not even Avalanche. He's John Tenta, a man who is going to hurt Big Bubba tonight in the ring. The match was extremely brief. It ended in a countout when John Tenta began chasing Bubba around with a pair of scissors. The tag team of Robbie Rage and Kenny Chaos, together known as High Voltage, they lost their very first televised tag team match against the Faces of Fear. It only went on for around 3.5 minutes. Mean Gene interviews Sting and Lex Luger in the locker room, footage from last week's brawl gets shown, and the total package gets questioned about his involvement in the main event match between Sting and Scott Steiner. Luger doesn't get a chance to defend himself as the Steiner brothers interrupt the promo. Rick says Luger tried to cheap shot his brother, and Scott says he'll take care of the total package tonight if he tries to pull off any more cheap shots during the tag title match. Luger and Steiner push each other around. Mean Gene says he won't tolerate this nonsense during his interview segment, and both teams split as the interview comes to an end. The next match, Disco Inferno vs. Sergeant Craig Pittman, it ended abruptly when Disco gave up in under 2 minutes. Disco didn't want his arm injured because his disco dancing meant more than beating Craig Pittman in the ring, and to be fair, he probably has a point. An awful waste of time though. Steve Regal then defeated Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Regal got the pinfall win when Duggan was distracted by Dave Taylor. Before the match, footage was shown of Regal hitting Sting backstage last week. Mean Gene tells Regal that he's now got a hefty fine to pay, but Regal says he paid double, so he's in credit with the WCW committee. Regal wants the Stinger, and a challenge is laid out for the Great American Bash. We see footage from WCW Saturday Night where Kevin Sullivan announced he would face Chris Benoit at the Great American Bash in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Sullivan then appears on Nitro where he destroys Prince Iaukea, and Sullivan cuts a promo afterwards where he says the Horseman and Dungeon of Doom relationship is officially over. Sullivan will get rid of Benoit so the Dungeon of Doom can focus on their main adversary, Hulk Hogan. So would I have stuck with Nitro this week? Based on what we saw in the last 60 minutes, I probably would have switched to Raw to see what was going on. The tag team main event sounds good, but the action inside the ring was average at best. Raw gets the first point. Goldust opens up WWF Raw. We see footage of Goldust saving Ahmed's life last week, and Goldust is seen lying on a couch with the IC title covering his little golden globes. Goldust tells Ahmed Johnson that if he wants the IC title, he should come and get it. My. Vince McMahon then announces that Ahmed Johnson versus Goldust has been made official. That match will happen at the King of the Ring. We're straight into our first matches then. On Nitro, we have Ric Flair and Arn Anderson versus the Rock and Roll Express. And on Raw, we have a King of the Ring qualifier, Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Bob Holly. Austin is now on his own. Ted DiBiase is gone from the WWF, and Austin's main goal is to win the King of the Ring tournament. Steve Austin grabs a headlock at the beginning of the match and he transitions into a hammerlock. Bob Holly shows he's no slouch either. The two men give a clean break when the ref calls for a rope break, and Stone Cold is then able to target Holly's leg. Holly gets out and Austin goes for a test of strength. The good sportsmanship is thrown out the window when Austin gets a cheap shot in, and the two men go on to trade chops in the corner. Stone Cold ends up taking control with a takedown followed by a back elbow, and Austin drives his knee into Holly's back with a backbreaker. We wouldn't see Austin do this too often during his time in the main event. Austin throws Holly out of the ring. Holly gets his neck snapped across the top rope, and then Bob begins firing back with a series of rights and lefts. Stone Cold stops the momentum with a kick to the midsection, and we see glimmers of the Texas Rattlesnake when Austin begs Holly to get back up. We come back from commercial and Austin has Holly on the mat. Holly gets up and Austin gets his head smashed from turnbuckle to turnbuckle. Spark plugs stop Stone Cold from going to the top rope, and Austin takes a back body drop. The audience are finally coming to life a little. Holly goes for the classic 10 punches in the corner, but Austin pushes Holly away. Stone Cold then signals for the $1 million dream, and Austin applies the hold. The match comes to an end, Holly is out cold, Steve Austin advances in the King of the Ring. I'll be honest, this match didn't have much going for it. Over on Nitro, we have Ricky and Robert taking on Flair and Anderson. The Rock and Roll's return to WCW here would only last a few months, but it's interesting that the company decided to reignite an old rivalry here with the Four Horsemen and the Rock and Roll Express. Ricky and Robert still wrestle to this very day, which is extraordinary when you think about it. Slick Rick and Double A come out wearing Panthers and Bears jerseys, poking a little fun at Mongo and Kevin Green here, of course, and Flair is having the time of his life on the entranceway. As Double A takes down Ricky Morton, we see a little stick of dynamite in the corner. It's counting down the seconds until Nitro goes into its second hour. I have no idea why this was necessary, and even worse, when the countdown reaches zero, pyro goes off in the arena. The wrestlers stand in the ring mid-match as fireworks go off above their heads and on the entranceway. Fans run to the guardrails because they think something is happening, and Flair takes the time to go to his VIP section to get some of those delicious cheesy treats. Bobby Heenan and Eric Bischoff take over on commentary, and Ricky Morton goes on the attack. The Nature Boy gets tagged in, and Flair challenges Morton to come after him. The two men beat the hell out of each other in the corner, the crowd goes nuts for this little spot, and Flair ends up taking a back body drop before Gibson comes into the match. Rick tags out, and the Horsemen take a break on the outside to gain their composure. The Enforcer manages to bring Gibson to the mat, but he can't follow up. He misses a few elbow drops, and Robert is able to land a flying crossbody. Double A takes a timeout, and Flair comes back in. Even in 1996, the Rock and Roll were still extremely capable wrestlers, as evidenced by their early work in this match. Gibson lands a drop toe hold, and Flair gets put in the figure four. Anderson and Morton run in, and Double A finds himself in a figure four also. The crowd completely eats this up, and it's exciting to just watch the audience react here. After the hold gets broke, Ric Flair continues his mini rivalry with referee Randy Anderson. The two push each other around in the ring and on the entranceway, and I know I've complained about time wasting before on this show, but this is how it's done right. There's still fun and entertaining stuff happening in the arena while all four men get a break. We come back from commercials, we have Morton and Anderson in the ring. Morton looks good with his offense that includes a Japanese arm drag, but a thumb to the eye from Ric Flair is just as effective. Flair attacks Ricky on the outside, Arn is back in the match, and the Enforcer then zones in on Morton's left arm. Quick tags from the Horsemen follow. Morton now needs to make the hot tag, and the punishment continues. Flair and Anderson control the match as Eric Bischoff announces that Bobby Heenan has just left the commentary desk. The Brain whispers something to Woman and Elizabeth, and Bobby takes a seat at Flair's VIP section. Gibson finally gets tagged in, and we see some of those Rock and Roll double drop kicks. Woman gets on the apron and she rakes Gibson's eyes. Double A hits the DDT and the Horsemen win the match. Mean Gene then interviews the Horsemen. Arn and Flair address Kevin Green and Mongo McMichael. Ric Flair says the football jerseys were presents from Mongo's wife Deborah. Mean Gene then asks Heenan what he's doing out here, and Mean Gene wants to know if Heenan is managing Flair and Anderson. Flair and Anderson are visibly upset with Heenan declining the Horsemen, but then the Brain pulls out his 1988 All Madden team trophy. Heenan says he's managed footballers like Joe Montana and Tom Landry, and while Heenan won't manage the Horsemen at the Great American Bash, he will coach Flair and Anderson at the pay-per-view. It's a point for Nitro. The tag team match here was infinitely better than the Holly vs. Austin match. The Giant defends the WCW World title against Ice Train next on Nitro, while Barry Horowitz goes to war with Mankind on Raw. Vince McMahon tells Jerry Lawler that the King has a match at the King of the Ring pay-per-view against the Ultimate Warrior. Jerry Lawler draws the cover of his very own comic book at the commentary table, and as Mankind makes his way to the ring, Jim Ross announces that Mick Foley will go up against The Undertaker at the same show. Horowitz shows no fear in the ring as he goes after Mankind. He hits a few punches before nailing a jawbreaker, but Mankind stays on his feet. Mankind wakes up and Horowitz takes a beating in the corner. Foley puts Barry in the Tree of Woe, and Barry takes a forearm from Mrs. Foley's baby boy. The fight spills to the outside just before we go to commercial break. Vince McMahon says that there's a chill in the air, teasing that The Undertaker is going to show up whenever Raw comes back. As soon as the show resumes, Horowitz takes the Mandible Claw and the match ends. Mankind is our winner, and we have no Undertaker. So a little bait and switch here from Vince McMahon. Instead of The Undertaker, we get Jim Ross. Mankind gets interviewed, and Foley says he hopes The Undertaker will show up at the King of the Ring and show a little pride. Mankind has nothing to lose. He's lost his hair, he's lost his teeth, and Mankind says of all the things he's lost in life, he misses his mind the most. Foley says that The Undertaker is going to lose it all at the King of the Ring. The promo here was way more entertaining than the match itself. After the promo, we get to see more highlights of the Michaels vs. Smith match at Beware of Dog. Over on Nitro, a promo airs that says our world is about to change. The words blood runs... You know what? Fuck it. Bobby Heenan defends his decision to coach the Horsemen at the Great American Bash. We get to see a Hulk Hogan American-made music video, and then it's time to get aboard the Ice Train for our WCW title match. Ice Train looks pumped up for this one, and I'm genuinely interested in seeing if Ice Train can scoop up the big man for the body slam. Well, to hell with my hopes and dreams, because Jimmy Hart distracts Ice Train right after the opening bell, the Giant hits the chokeslam, and it's all over. I'm not kidding, I counted 25 seconds on this one. Scott Norton comes down to complain, but he ends up taking two chokeslams for his troubles. Mean Gene interviews the Giant afterwards, and Giant says he's pissed off with WCW running these Hulk Hogan promo videos every week. The Giant took out Hogan, he's beaten Sting, and next on the list is Lex Luger at the Great American Bash. It's a point for WWF Raw, at least we had a wrestling match with Mankind vs. Horowitz, and Foley's promo afterwards was pretty good too. Scott Norton may be laid out in the middle of the ring, but he's got a match next. Norton vs. Hugh Morris on Nitro, while Raw presents a Goldust promo. Goldust is making everyone feel uncomfortable at the moment, but that's what made this all work so well. We see clips of Ahmed Johnson going nuts last week, and Goldust says he was simply giving mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He was trying to save Ahmed's life, and anyone would have done the same thing if they saw a person in need. What a great guy this Goldust lad truly is. Ahmed was in trouble and Goldust ran to his aid. Simple as that. Goldust then produces a chocolate bar and he says the mouth-to-mouth from last week reminds him of the taste of chocolate. Swear to God. Goldust is asked about the King of the Ring match. He says Ahmed will melt in his hands at the pay-per-view and not in his mouth. And Ahmed will never forget the name of Goldust. Tell you what, Dustin went completely all in with this gimmick during this era, and you can see how watered down it would become as the months went on, but this is some great character work here. Goldust was never a favourite of mine, but I found a new appreciation for him and other wrestlers through making these videos. Over on Nitro, Scott Norton is still laid out. Hugh Morris comes to the ring with some of the craziest eyebrows you'll ever see. What is it with the Dungeon of Doom and their wacky eyebrows anyway? Hugh Morris teases Norton in the ring. He pins him with just one finger, but Morris decides to break the pin and attack his fallen opponent for a little while. After a few elbow drops and some smack talking to the camera, Morris goes for the moonsault, Norton wakes up, and Scott was supposed to catch his opponent in mid-air, but that doesn't work out too well. Norton just pins his opponent anyway, and the match is over. Brutal stuff here from WCW, and they're struggling here with this two-hour format. Of the eight matches that's already been presented, only two of them lasted longer than 3.5 minutes, and this is the kind of thing that will lose Nitro points here on Reliving the War. Kevin Green and Steve Mongo McMichael are going to discuss their battle plan for the Great American Bash, while the Godwins take on Techno Team 2000 on Raw. This would be Techno Team's final match together ever. We don't even get entrances here. Sonny is providing commentary and Jerry Lawler is having a great time looking at Sonny. No chill here for the King, it's clear as day. The Body Donnas are shown backstage and the tag team are looking for a new manager. You can actually ride in if you want to manage Zip and Skip. I'm pretty curious to know if anybody out there watching actually applied to be the manager of the Body Donnas. Travis and Henry Godwin start things off, and I can't help but thinking back to Nitro. We had the Rock and Roll Express versus the Horsemen, and we have Techno Team 2000 versus the Godwins on Raw. Ooh. Phineas and Troy end up getting in the ring, and Phineas gets distracted by Sonny. Sonny says she's being visually harassed by hillbillies as Phineas snaps out of it. Phineas then goes into another trance when he points to Sonny as Troy stands there wondering what the fuck to do. The match starts up again and Phineas gets his head smashed into the turnbuckle a few times. He even gives us one extra for good luck. Techno Team then hit a double big boot, but Phineas manages to get his knees up when Troy and Travis try some more double team offense. Henry comes into the match, Techno Team misses an assisted corner splash, and Henry wins the bout with the slop drop. With every passing week, I find it more and more difficult to get into the WWF's tag team division. Everyone's favourite football player turned pro wrestler Steve McMichael is with Kevin Green and they're talking strategy. These two guys are going to incorporate the world of football into their game plan at the Great American Bash. Kevin Green has some good ideas, but Mongo can do better. Mongo grabs a pen and he says he and Green are the X's while Flair and Anderson are the O's because they're a pair of zeros, baby. Mongo tells Green to watch out for the Horseman's signature moves, and Green is so amped up as he agrees with everything Mongo says. And look, I know Mongo is great for a laugh and we're going to see some sloppy stuff in the ring very soon, but the enthusiasm here from both Mongo and Green is absolutely off the charts. It's even more funny when you understand how limited Mongo was, yet here he is giving advice. Green can't wrap his head around staying behind enemy lines. Mongo tries to explain that a good tag team cuts the ring off and they stay in their side of the ring, but it's just not settling in. The pair decide that they need a coach. Green just so happens to be eating a Slim Jim, a light bulb goes off, and the two men agree that they need to find the Macho Man Randy Savage. Point for WCW Nitro, and before you rip into me for giving Mongo a point, you watch these two segments and you tell me which was better. And get used to it too, I've no problems tarnishing this show by awarding Mongo points for just being Mongo. Main event time, WCW presents Sting and Lex Luger versus Rick and Scott Steiner, while the WWF presents a King of the Ring qualifier, Hunter Hearst Helmsley versus Jake Roberts. Remember too that Helmsley was actually booked to win this whole King of the Ring tournament, but because of the curtain call, Triple H was punished, and that big victory was taken away. Ripping into Jake Roberts during this time period isn't a very savoury thing to do either, but I'll admit that his matches in 1996 have been way below average. So it does feel like the WWF were putting on a main event match here that they knew was going to fall flat. Before the match, Clarence Mason phones in and he says Gorilla Monsoon physically assaulted him a few weeks ago on Raw. Gorilla simply moved Clarence out of Shawn Michaels' way, but this was enough for Clarence to begin legal proceedings. Inside the ring, Hunter takes Jake down with a shoulder block and Trips performs his little pose. Roberts answers with a hip toss and he goes for the DDT. Hunter gets out, he notices the snake, and this makes Hunter run right back into another DDT attempt. This time Helmsley gets out of the ring. Jerry Lawler is creeping on Hunter's valet as the match resets. Jake decides to waste some time by trying to get a DDT chant going, and Roberts then takes control of the wrist as the bout continues. Vince McMahon then addresses Scott Hall's departure while also spoiling the upcoming debut of Kevin Nash in WCW when he says this on commentary. no longer associated with the WWF in any manner, are Big Daddy Cool Diesel and the bad guy Razor Ramon. It's been reported that these two individuals intend to pawn themselves off as the stars they once were here in the WWF, and furthermore perpetuate some ruse that they still represent the World Wrestling Federation while actually under contract to a rival organization. So Vince McMahon was telling everyone here that Scott Hall was not the WWF invader that he portrayed on Nitro, while also letting everyone know that Diesel would be showing up over on TNT very soon. This probably backfired. If a big WWF fan heard this without knowing what was going on over in WCW, they'd probably be inclined to switch over to Nitro just to see what was happening. Our matches slowed down to a snail's pace. I'm not sure how many times Roberts can go for a wrist lock, and how many times Helmsley can run away from the snake. We come back from commercial break and Hunter drops the knee on Roberts. Triple H toys with his opponent and he makes Jake crumble to the mat after a big right hand. Jake tries to fight back, but Hunter reverses a short arm clothesline with another big right. Jake wasn't too sure about which way he should bump after getting hit. Jake gets back up and he goes for the clothesline again. He hits it this time, but he's unable to deliver the DDT as we go to another commercial break. As soon as we come back, Jake comes out of the corner. He jumps over Hunter and we see the DDT. Roberts slowly puts an arm over Triple H and Jake the Snake wins the match. After the bell, Jake places revelations on the lifeless body of Hunter Hearst Helmsley. This one just wasn't good at all, if I'm honest. Raw's main events have been really lagging as of late. While the finishes of WCW's main events leave a lot to be desired, it's something we have to get used to. I fully expect this tag team match to blow the WWF's main event out of the water though. It's the Steiners versus Sting and Lex Luger. As the match begins with Sting and Scott in the ring, Randy Savage phones into Nitro. Randy says he's been suspended from in-ring competition, but he is allowed to coach Kevin Green and Mongo McMichael. Randy accepts the job and Bobby Heenan tries to beg and plead with the Macho Man, but it's no use. So at the Great American Bash, Heenan will be in the Horseman's corner while Savage will back up Mongo and Green. While all this was going on, Sting and Scott traded offense in the ring. We go to commercial break right after the phone call, and when we come back, Rick Steiner has Lex on the mat. Luger takes a clothesline, we see a massive belly to belly from the top rope, and Rick then hits a diving bulldog. Luger tags in Sting, Sting hits the Stinger Splash, and we then see the Scorpion Deathlock. Scott Steiner runs in to make the save, and Scott then gets tagged in. The Stinger takes a belly-to-belly suplex, and then Scott delivers a top rope Frankensteiner. It's all high-octane action here on Nitro, and the change of pace in comparison to Monday Night Raw is absolutely unreal. Lex Luger breaks up the pin. Steiner goes for a suplex, but Sting reverses with a Scorpion Death Drop. Luger then comes into the match, he delivers a power slam on Scotty Steiner, and then a torture rack attempt gets broken up by Rick. Luger then tries to suplex Scott on the outside, but Rick again makes the save. The match then breaks down with all four men brawling in the ring. Rick Steiner and Sting take it to the outside, and Sting gets backdropped on the ramp. Just then, the Giant shows up, and the big man delivers one of the softest chokeslams in wrestling history on the dog-faced gremlin. Even Eric Bischoff has to admit on commentary that the Giant didn't get all of the move. The WCW champion then holds down the top rope, and this causes Scott Steiner to hit a cameraman on the outside. And then Nick Patrick throws the match out. It's a double disqualification. Lex Luger and the Giant fight in the ring. Scotty Steiner and Sting come in to help the total package, and the Giant gets clotheslined over the top rope as the segment comes to an end. The final point goes to WCW Nitro for obvious reasons. Don't go away just yet though, we have a special appearance over at the commentary table. Out comes Razor Ramon. Scott Hall says he had so much fun last week that he's came back for more. Bischoff tries to leave, but Hall says Eric Bischoff started this war, and Razor says, "We are going to finish it." Before Hall can say who we are, the Stinger shows up to defend WCW. Sting offers Hall a fight right there and then, and Hall says that nobody tells him what to do. Hall throws his toothpick at Sting, and Sting replies with a slap to the face. Now completely fired up, Scott Hall says he has a big surprise for Sting in WCW next week as Nitro goes off the air. This episode of Reliving the War was a draw, 3 points each. The first 60 minutes of Nitro were very uneventful, and the short matches really hurt the show this week. Promos from Mankind and Goldust helped Raw get a few points, but overall, neither show was really special. Our scores are now 14 points to Raw, 17 points to Nitro, and we've now had 4 ties overall. Nitro got the win in the TV ratings, scoring a 3.0 while the WWF only managed a 2.3. That's 3 times in a row the WWF pulled in the exact same rating. Join me next week when Scott Hall's big buddy shows up on Nitro while Jerry Lawler presents a gift to the Ultimate Warrior. Thank you very much for watching, and I'll see you all next time.